Breakfast with Gary and Tim. The Good Oil for Cobram Estate. Australia's most awarded extra virgin olive oil. Grown, harvested and first cold pressed in Northern Victoria.
Great to have you along with us on SEM Breakfast on a busy Tuesday morning. Sam Edmonds sitting in for Gary Lyon. The Whisper's here and boy, oh boy, is he up and about, but he's opened up Pandora's box. We'll circle back on that in a moment. The McCafe menu today, our official coffee partner, if you're joining us for the first time. Big source, Sammy Jacobs is going to join us, the former Adelaide Ruckman, as we discuss the retirement, immediate retirement of Rory Sloane yesterday. Gary Moorcroft, the 2001 Mark of the Year winner, incidentally, was the last time the AFL gave away a car to its best marker, and I know Wisp's passionate about that. Questions that night as well, but Tim, what have you done here?
Well, before we get to that, a lot of people want to know where Gary is. He and I have become consciously uncoupled. We're just taking a break from each other just to sort out our differences. Things just got a little bit hairy there for a while, and I'm sure we'll be able to sort it out.
Therapy.
And to that end, I mentioned the fact that I'd made a captain's call, and anybody that was in the NOV file, there was an amnesty. I got a text message from Gary during the break. Soft. So well, he wants everybody to stay in there. But this is the good thing, right? Freedom, let me out, please. Am I in the NOV file?
They're banging on the cage to be let out here.
Am I in the NOV file? I know I'm in the doghouse at home. Can you lift my ban at home as well, please? That's from Ditch in Sydney. Ditch, we can't help you up there in Stoke and Kidney, but I don't believe you are in the NOV file. In fact, Gary's got the NOV file book with him, so I need some more feedback from Gary.
Stack of topics to get through as we straighten up as part of our footy conversation, of course. You can join us anytime as the Mimosa Homes open line. Take this conversation wherever you or whatever you feel most passionately about. Visit Mimosa Homes today, 1300 736 736. That unbelievable Geelong and Carlton game, though, 87,000 at the MCG with Patrick Dangerfield. I wouldn't want to say wound back the clock because I still think the clock is ticking, but he was dynamic as he's been for a long time. And then the hamstring went rip. Not Braden Proust style. He was out there doing some damage before he went down. I'm keen on your thoughts on how the club has been so good at managing its elder statesman for a long time. And Patrick Dangerfield is well and truly in that. Before I get your thoughts on this, this is Patrick Dangerfield yesterday on his latest hamstring setback.
Same hamstring, feels exactly the same spot. Once you've done one, you have a fair indication of what it is. So it's pretty quickly off the ground or slowly. Had it not done that work, then, you know, is it a far worse injury, potentially? You don't know. It's a bit frustrating to redo it. But at the same time, we're in a pretty good spot. We've got great health on our list.
So 6 weeks before their bye, do they just sit him out for the six?
Well, I don't think they just make that decision in isolation. I think they just try and get him right again, and however long that might take. I wonder whether they're going to... Do you know there's Fremantle and the West Coast Eagles, they send their players to Dubai. Have you come across this?
Changwith Jath went to Qatar during the offseason.
Well, it must be the... Well, maybe it is... Maybe it's just that part of the world. Maybe it's not Dubai. Maybe it is Qatar.
Doha,
there must be somebody over in that part of the world that is doing something to remedy hamstring injuries and strains and things like that.
They've moved on from Munich. Dr. Hans Muller.
Well, it's not as far. It's a little bit closer.
What about Dr. Hans? Healing Hans.
I think they shifted him to...
He's been relocated.
I think he's been relocated to Saudi Arabia or somewhere like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know that for... But with Patrick Dangerfield, the most important thing that Geelong can do is they're going to be there at the pointy end of the season. They're going to be there in the finals. The most important thing that they can do is make sure that in their preparation, the decision-making around him, that they try and have him ready and with enough run-up games to the finals to be fit and able to participate.
Because they gave him they didn't play finals last year. They gave him 6 weeks off last year. Even in their premiership year, they managed him very carefully all the way through to make sure that come the end of the season, he was still popping, still humming.
Well, the problem being is he's a thick-set athlete too. So
you can't change the way you play, can you?
No, and you can't change your physiology either. Like, you are built a certain way, and it may be that, you know, it's more difficult for him because of the power that he tries to exert when he plays too. But I don't know that we've ever seen him in more powerful, explosive form than what he was in the early part. Like, he was a man on a mission, wasn't he?
He looked really good. He looked really good at the weekend. The Saints are going to the tribunal tonight, and they're fighting Jack Higgins' three-match ban. It's a dangerous tackle, rough conduct. Alir Alir failed the concussion test in the aftermath. So because of that, Michael Christian, as he's always done, assesses it as severe impact. So that triggers a three-match suspension. The Saints chose to challenge at the tribunal. Do they have a case, do you think?
Well, I think they have a case to get it downgraded in some way, because I think there were some circumstances around this which were, and I'm not going to blame Alir Alir, but there were some, in the action that he took in time in terms of trying to kick the ball, therefore he had no sort of, he was sort of suspended in air, therefore the force of the tackle was always going to have greater impact. Then I don't see it as being worth a 3-week ban, because I think there were extenuating circumstances around that which probably should favour.
But can't every player then argue this, that there are extenuating circumstances?
Well, if there are, you can. That's the point. We can't just say every one of these instances is exactly the same. That's why we go to the tribunal. That's why we do challenge them, because there are certain slight differences in and around these, which is exactly what I thought last week with Toby Green too, which wasn't successful.
Yeah, and clearly Alir Alir is trying to kick. You'd be living under a rock if you hadn't seen it many times. Trying to kick the ball on one leg, therefore loses his balance, and easier for him to hit the ground, as unfortunate as that was. So I think Adrian Anderson's representing him as well, the man with the skeleton key at the tribunal.
Right.
He's got a
has he got another clause up his sleeve that nobody else knows about?
Well, I had a look at the list, the good bloke list. Unfortunately, I'm sure he is a good bloke, Jack Higgins, but he's not on it. He doesn't meet the criteria. So we can't be talking. How about Tom Barras trying it on with David Grace too, by the way, last week? You know, I'm a family man. I've done this work in the community.
Why wouldn't you try it on, though?
You have to now.
Well, it's been successful once. Why wouldn't you go there again?
You're negligent if you don't. But no, he doesn't have that lever to pull, but it'll be in the, I guess it'll be a nuanced argument, won't it?
This not file thing amuses me, right? Please confirm if I'm in the knob file. I only offended Andy Ma and believe he was being too sensitive as per usual. Well, the knob file doesn't extend from show to show. We have our own knob file. So if you've offended Andy and he's put you in the knob file, then that's not part of our knob file or Gary's knob file. So I can't, if you've been put in the knob file by Andy, this amnesty doesn't extend to you.
What about Mark in Bris Vegas, as he says? If I'm not in the knob file, I should have been. But as Engelbert Humperdinck once said, please release me, Mark, up in Brisbane.
Hey, I want to play this. This is Eddie Maguire on his podcast, right? Just talking about, specifically about, he was talking about North Melbourne. He said, if North don't expand their influence to the Northern Victoria, I can tell you non-Victorian presidents and some of the Victorian presidents don't want to have 19 teams. I'll let him say what he had to say, and we'll talk about it at the end of that.
So for me, North Melbourne, as you said, are now out of Tassie. Right. You keep Arden Street as the theatre of dreams.
Can you repeat that? Because people just ignored that fact.
God. What I'm looking at, though, is how can you base yourself and go forward? Because I reckon if North don't, I can tell you that non-Victorian presidents and some of the Victorian presidents, you know, run by the AFL, don't want to have 19 teams. Okay? There's an easy solution for this. Okay?
So bring Tassie in and axe one.
But one will go.
One will go.
And so that's the Eddie and Jimmy podcast.
That's right. And I don't want to put words in Eddie's mouth, but he was talking about North Melbourne. So one would assume that the one that he thinks should go right now would be North Melbourne. Now, you say that we have this discussion every year.
Oh, sure.
I say that we don't have this discussion
every year.
Ask North
Melbourne. Okay, if you're a North Melbourne fan and you're listening now, is this an annual topic? You follow the fortunes and the discussion around your footy club more specifically and more closely than any of us. If this is an annual topic for you, let us know on the 40 Wings temper text, 0433981116. I think it has been ever since they went down this dark spot. Well, it was even prior to that. It goes all the way back to they should have gone to the Gold Coast conversation.
Okay, say the conversation has been had. Has anybody who was previously a very influential chairman, president of a football club, has he so clearly put it out there on the agenda as what Eddie Maguire did?
Has Jeff Kennett done it?
Did Jeff Kennett say that, you know, North Melbourne should fold up and go down to, effectively fold up and go down to Tasmania?
Has he?
I can't remember him saying that. I'm sure that we could recall it quite easily.
Eddie's not a president anymore.
No, I said a former president, like, and a very high-profile, influential.
Sure. Has Tony Cochrane ever said words of similar effect?
I haven't heard him say that.
But so North Melbourne, I mean, it comes back. Luke Hodge opened up Sports Day yesterday. Shocked me, to be honest, last night. He opened up the show saying, forget a priority pick for North Melbourne at the back of the first round or after their first, right at the pointy end. Right at the pointy end. Mm. But is North Melbourne's problem a lack of talent? They've got...
It is right now.
Well, yes, but they've had... Is another first-round pick going to solve anything in the here and now? Like, they've had 10 first-round picks since 2016, I think they've taken.
Well, if you give them a first-round pick and then it's a tradable first-round pick...
But they've
then
done all that too.
Well, I know, but we're talking about doing it again, aren't we? Because of where they find themselves now. Are they worse than you thought they'd be this season?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they cut, even though, and Brooke made a very good point before we came on air this morning, I'll give him credit for it. And he said about the fact that, you know, the players that aren't there this year, you know, Mackay, obviously, Zeeble, even though Jack Zeeble, you know, wasn't at his absolute best last year, and Goldstein could still be running around and providing, it's not just the playing capacity, it's the other stuff that they do and the strength that they have and the experience they have with their younger players to be able to help in some way too. So they are, I think, in terms of personnel, they're worse off this year than what they were last year. Now, because you know, you get that improvement in that same group of players over a 12-month period and a 6-month period you do as well, then you know, next year they may be a lot better than what they are and showing this year. Mm. But they're still a long way off being a side that's going to be competing for a top 8 spot.
Yes, Jeff Kennett did say it. Yes, it's an annual topic. Yes, they've been trying to kill us off since the 90s. We're sick of it. But the bare fact is they are one of the smaller supporting clubs. You know, in terms of the corporate dollar, they struggle as well. They've got a low membership base. So when they are struggling on the field, we're going to get this perfect storm of debate. The way I look at it is with their talent is, so Lowe coming in injured, Shields coming in, well, I guess he offers something off the field, but not as much on. Hugh Greenwood hasn't worked either. So where do they turn?
He was okay for a while though, Hugh Greenwood.
He was.
He was never going to be the long-term answer, but he's one of those players that's sort of like a bridge between.
But you need a better bridger though. So this is the thing. Everyone says, go out and get a Luke Hodge, right? And there's only one. There's only one Luke Hodge. That's a high bar. But when you go back to Melbourne's darkest days under Paul Roos, and you had guys who provided leadership, but they still had some footy left in them, and they were critical in protecting the younger players coming in. So that's Bernie Vince on a back flank, Jordan Lewis more recently, Daniel Cross played several years in the midfield for Melbourne when they were down and out. You need those guys to take some bullets. So I don't think North have done that as well as they possibly could have.
And protecting their young talent,
protecting
you mean?
Your Sheezels and your Wardlaws. And
they've gone out and they've tried to recruit those players, but they've probably recruited the wrong type of player.
Or they've been unlucky.
They recruited the two boys from Port Adelaide. They're no longer on their list. I mean, those players should still be there playing because that was the purpose of going and recruiting them at the time.
So now are they scouring the competition and thinking, right, who can we get at the end of the year? And is it someone like a Jack? Who can you prize out of a football club? Is it a Jack McRae at the Western Bulldogs? Right. Who's had a tough year thus far?
You're talking about not just their playing ability. You're talking about really solid citizens that are professionals, got a great attitude towards the game.
All of that.
And respected in the locker room. All that type of thing. They're going to provide leadership.
They are nailed on, no trouble.
Yeah, more than just a playing talent out there.
And look, would McRae go there? I mean, would someone like... look, he might be really hard to get for obvious reasons, but you can tailor it with coaching packages, life after football. Could you get a Mitch Duncan to come in and play on a back flank?
If you're you're talking about a specific type of bloke. Like with Hodgie, like he'd finished, he'd decided that he was going to give the game away, and then he got this sort of offer to go up there, which he accepted. And made a good fist of it. We could all see that he was past his playing days, but it was all those other things. And the fact that he was aligned too, I think this was a really critical factor in all this. He was aligned with the Chris Fagan philosophy because the Chris Fagan philosophy was the Hawthorn philosophy and it was something that he knew and Chris Fagan knew that he would be able to then be another coach for him on the field because they knew exactly what they were trying to achieve.
Yep. There's a lot to get to this morning. I'm just having a look here. The comments from Sam Taylor we might get to after the break as well.
I love it when players come out and say stuff like this.
It's not a rivalry round officially, but gee whiz, there's some spicy contests coming up, and Sam Taylor certainly fed into that as well at GWS as he looks to return from concussion. There's a stack to get to. I guess the art of coaching with Sam Mitchell as well. Whisper now, he handled all of that. And was it or was it not a story around Sam Wicks not being fated by teammates after his second goal of the weekend? I might throw that one out.
Well, I don't know who wrote that, but they probably deserve to go back into the knob file.
On that note, back in a moment.